My name is Cherokee Shaney.
That's why I fight the fight every single day, is to leave the world a better place for my kids. Now that President Trump has taken the Oval Office, I'm really excited to be working in this new era. We have courage. We stand strong in our values.
It is time for us to fight, fight, fight.
Hello. You guys, thanks for being here for another 3 o'clock edition of our show. As you saw, this is now the 3 o'clock hour will be usually Christy and myself hosting people, just talking about what's going on around the state. We need to put you in the intro too, Christy. So for those who don't know, Chuck and Julie, they have hosted this show for years. They are some great friends of mine. And their son has just been super busy with golf, and he's really progressing this summer. So they asked me to take over on Wednesdays and Fridays. So that's why you all get to deal with me for 2 hours every week. So, and those for those who don't know, I'm here with Christy Davis. She is one of my best friends. Christy and I founded Moms for Liberty El Paso County together like four years ago now, I think. And we've been working together ever since. And so she's somebody that is working hard across the state. And so I like to bring Christy on so that we can just get a good gauge of everything that's happening and what we need to do in our state. So Christy, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to be on the show with you.
It's so fun. I'm so glad you're here. And thank you for all of your help this week. So you've just been awesome. I love your background, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
So let's jump into it. There's a lot going on. And one of the things that we didn't get to discuss, a couple of weeks ago when it first happened is the D49 issue. So can you walk the viewers through what happened in D49 in El Paso County a couple years ago in 2023, who the actors were, what happened, just kind of like a brief rundown so we can talk about the lawsuit.
Sure. So back in 2023, D49 updated their policy BEDH, which is the public comment policy, because they were getting a lot of opposition between the board infighting that was going on. So the board members were Jamie Lynn Davola, Ivy Liu, Rick Van Wieren, Lori Thompson, and John Graham was the president. And so John, Rick, and Lori, and Ivy were battling constantly.
All Republicans.
So, what's that?
All Republicans.
All Republicans. And so all of these protesters from the left would show up to support Rick and Ivy, or not Ivy, Rick, Lori, and John, and go against everything Ivy was trying to do. We were trying to point out the damages that SEL was bringing in and the high costs of social emotional learning programs. And we were fighting vaccine clinics on school grounds during COVID, those kind of things. And Ivy was standing strong against them. And the progressives had somehow gotten an ear of the other three and had voted for 18 SEL programs in a slate, that social emotional learning, and for COVID-19 vaccine clinics on school grounds. The right was getting upset. And so they were coming to the board meetings to support some of the issues that Ivy and Jamie Lynn were standing strong on and showing opposition to the other three. They got sick of hearing about it. And so they started to tighten up policy BEDH. And what they did was ultimately violate free speech.
Right.
And I had gone through the policy myself. I found 5 violations of free speech, of viewpoint discrimination within policy BDH. It's still there to this day. And I've spoken to many attorneys about it. They told me, yep, they're violating free speech with this policy, but you can't do anything until they enforce it. So during all of this, they end up kicking, I think it was 3 or 4 conservative parents and grandparents out of a board meeting one night. And we got entrenched, Darcy and I, into this situation back in December of 2021. And Darcy aired all of this on the Matt Buff show. Do you want to speak a little bit about that?
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you were. I forgot that's why I was even on that show out of Florida in the whole everything that transpired. So you were at the meeting, right? You were at the meeting.
I used to go to all the 49 meetings during that entire time.
Yes. And then Deb Schmidt was at the meeting, who's now a D49 board member. So she was one of the plaintiffs.
Yes.
And so John Graham, I remember, so I went after John Graham and the board hard because at the time, Mayor Glant, she was mayor at the time in Palmer Lake. She was not at a D49 meeting and she received a letter from John Graham, who was president of the D49 board at the time, that said, you are no longer welcome on school grounds because of your behavior at that meeting. And that was, he thought she was one of the sign people. And he said, you can't ever come to a board meeting again. And it was signed by the board and it was signed by the attorney and it was signed by the superintendent. And so I put that all over the place. And then that's how I ended up talking on the Matt Boff show in Florida. And we talked about the viewpoint discrimination. And actually, that's how you and I came into contact for the very first time with Brad Miller.
Yes.
Because he was brought up on that show. And then come to find out, you know, Brad was, he was involved in that, but some other things happened. It was kind of a crazy scenario. But it was clear. I mean, they were clearly violating viewpoint discrimination. And then when we went on TV and talked about it, we were like, suddenly the Moms for Liberty was like ousted from D49 politics.
They still will not work with me on that board.
Right.
Lori Thompson won't, because they went around saying we were spreading misinformation and lies. And Darcy didn't mention it, but Glant Hevner, the mayor, was not even at the board
meeting.
Wasn't
there.
Falsely accused her of being there and banned her from District 49 grounds for life. And it was traumatizing to her because her son was an athlete at the time. And she liked to go to all of his football games, and some of his football games, because he was a D38 athlete, were held in D49.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to get them to change these policies since 2021. So finally, the left had come to this board meeting with newspapers, and they were holding them up and shaking them with signs on the back that said resign Ivy Lou. And they were going to board meetings with signs with red, green thumbs up and red thumbs down. So every time the board would do something that the left would like, they would hold up a green thumbs up. And every time they were doing something that they didn't like, they would hold the red thumbs down. Those signs were allowed by the board. And so one evening, Deb and another lady named Kelly Coles decided to attend a D49 board meeting with signs that said resign Rick, Lori, and John, which was the exact same signs that the left had just held up a week before, that said resign Ivy, and they were allowed to have them, even though they were being disruptive because they were shaking these newspapers and making this really nice. So that night, the temperature outside was -2. Nobody shows up at this board meeting. School was canceled that day. The board still shows up. I show up with Deb Schmidt and Kelly Coles. I didn't have a sign, but they did. And they held the sign up and just at their waists. They weren't being disruptive. They weren't holding them up in the air. And John was acting strange that evening. He kept going back into the back, coming back out. He was acting very strange. And then he told them that they had to remove their signs. They weren't allowed to hold them up. They said, no, this is our free right. We're going to continue to hold them up. And then he sent the board to recess and ultimately ended up having security remove them. He wouldn't allow them to use the bathroom. He kicked them out into -2-degree weather, even though they didn't have.
And this is a Republican board president.
Yes.
And you always refer to the left, the people that attended those D49 meetings, the school board or the teachers union people, as the purple shirts. And you always said that purple shirts have gotten a hold of John. He's kind of like playing both sides. He's a Republican and he's saying, well, we have to hear their side. We have to hear their side. First of all, no, we don't. That's why we elected you. It's conservative district. We don't have to hear their side. We don't have to hear about trans and kids. We don't have to do any of it, John. That's why we elected you. But second of all, what did those signs say? Remind me what those signs said.
The the signs that everybody was holding up in the board meetings, they were
The
just
ones that the
asking the board
Republicans
members
want.
to resign. So first
Right,
the
those.
left
Yeah.
was asking Ivy to resign. And then when Deb and Kelly held up signs that said resign John, Rick, and Lori, they wanted
That
those
was it. That's all the sign said, resign.
Yes.
So he was basically protecting his own seat. And we talked about that on the Matt Buff show. It was topics that he didn't want to hear. So he used his elected position to stifle free speech through that viewpoint discrimination. And you and I talked about it back then. I remember saying, I mean, he clearly has done this. The board has clearly done this. The problem is going to be getting a court of law to agree. And they, I mean, they agreed and they handed down some sanctions on John.
Yeah, so he has to, so they won in federal court, the Deb and Kelly,
Awesome.
they won their free speech violation suit in court. And John has to pay a fine to them. And then the school district itself will have to pay whatever is determined to be fair for attorney costs for Deb and Kelly.
Yeah, and he ending up having to pay like $1,100 per instance, right? So the policy is still there. So there are some broad implications, I think, for anybody that was discriminated against between the time that they enacted that policy and now.
Yeah.
So for once, we won. Like the good side won. I mean, I was just, when you told me that, I was like, oh my God, like finally, finally, finally. And
yeah, I
do
mean,
you
they've dragged our names through the mud for years, saying that we're spreading misinformation and lies, saying that we're attacking conservative board members. So it was real vindication for us, I think, to
Yeah,
make them pop on this one, because we were telling them the entire time that their policy violated viewpoint discrimination.
right. And what were you really doing? You were trying to fight to get the SEL out of this, to the social emotional learning out of the schools. You were fighting to not have the vaccine bus on school grounds, and you had elected Republicans basically slamming Moms for Liberty and saying these people are crazy, like they're hurting the party. And that's pretty much what you get, I think, around the state when you're standing up and doing the right thing. But I mean, the court just did not agree with John. And so it isn't John, he's on he's on another board now.
I
I
know
think
that
he's
he's was working with Peak News and they were doing something. I can't remember
okay.
what
I
it was.
thought he was on like the state, he was involved with that BOCES to a
He could
certain
be.
extent. Yeah. I think that he is, and I think that a lot of those people are getting involved in that because they want their names on this state policy, on this curriculum, but they don't want to do the right thing. So,
Yeah. And it's happening in school districts all across our county. I found there's members just about on every single one of the big boards in 20, 49, 38, and 11 that claim to be conservatives, you know. And when we try to push back on some of this stuff to have some of this stuff removed, we're getting pretty hard pushback, and we become the villains for holding them accountable. And
right.
so
You're even facing a situation where, you know, we're going into the school board elections in 2025. And I've heard you say that there are conservatives that are running that are like, oh, I don't want the Moms for Liberty endorsement. And that's coming out of the advocacy groups that were created in D11, D20, and D49. And when I say advocacy groups, these are not groups that are necessarily always advocating for our values and for our children. It's the only county I know of where these groups exist, where they were formed to protect the candidates and to protect the electeds that are put into office and to basically run interference, not between the conservatives and the liberals, but between the conservatives and the actual conservatives.
Yes. I mean, our group is Moms for Liberties. We're supposed to be nonpartisan.
Yeah.
We protect parental rights. And so because the left is attacking parental rights so hard right now, our organization tends to lean right. We're labeled
By
far
default.
right extremists, but our ultimate goal is to protect parental rights at all levels of government. And we do hold our elected officials accountable. And sometimes I get attacked harder from the right than I do from the left.
Well, right, because the left knows what you're doing. Like they know what Moms for Liberty is doing at this point. The right is I mean, who's going against parental rights? And I think we talked about that at one of your meetings, and somebody, Rachel Stovall, she asked, well, when are you going to start going as hard against the Democrats as you do against the Republicans? Okay, you know, we're in a minority at the legislature. We're in a minority everywhere in this state, right? Mm-hmm. Leslie Herod and Jared Polis don't give a rip what I want or what I expect for my family and my children. Like, they just don't. They're not accountable to me. They weren't elected by people like me and you. They were elected by Democrats. The Democrats are never going to respect parental rights. However, we elected Republicans like John Graham, like the people on D20 and every D38 and everywhere else. We elected them to stand for our values. They are accountable to us. You and I knocked doors for these people. We made calls for these people. We endorsed these people. We gave a lot of these people money. And so they are accountable towards us. And if they're not going to respect parental rights, how do we ever, ever expect that Democrats are going to see the light of day? They're not.
No.
So, I mean, that's why you say you get so attacked so hard by Republicans. Well, they don't want to be held accountable. They're protecting their own seats. They're not protecting children to a certain extent, especially in districts like D49. So, you know, just like the legislature, I always go off on my tangents and I'm like, oh, nobody's doing their job. Nobody's conservative. Nobody's standing for the kids. But let's be fair. There are some who are. Yes. Ryan Graham in Monument, at Monument Academy, Ryan Graham, who's now running for El Paso County Commissioner. He has never backed down, right? As far as he's never backed down. No, he's always stood for.
He's an amazing board president at Monument Academy.
And he's an amazing.
Like Jill Haefeli, she's doing some amazing things in D11. Jason Jorgensen has always shown to be a really, really strong board member. These are the kind of board members that we need to get elected into the seats coming in November 2025. Because while we have President Trump as our president and we have a very strong federal government that is fighting for removal of diversity, equity, inclusion, CRT, keeping trans ideologies out of our schools, we need to have board members that are willing to go up against our radical state legislators that are passing insane laws that are violating our constitution. And they need to say, no, we're going to stay with federal law. We're going to, you know, uphold the constitution and parental rights. And we're not going to do what our state elected officials are telling us to do up at the Capitol. Because if they don't, then the left is winning. Because the left likes to take. They never give. No. So if they can get a moderate board member or a Republican to see their side, even just a little bit, and they pass a policy that has A, B, and doesn't have C, and everybody else in town is patting them on the back because they did A and B, I don't give even a one little notch when it comes to parental rights. It's 100% or nothing. And I will hold every single board member in this county and in this state accountable to parental rights 100% of the time. And if I have to get attacked and I have to get thrown under the bus and I have to, you know, have people going around saying that I'm attacking conservative board members, I will attack conservative board members if you're not standing for parental rights 100% of the time.
Exactly. There's no reason why they shouldn't be. We're not talking about Arapahoe County or Jefferson County. We're talking about El Paso County, where they're in red districts. And they have absolutely no reason to not behave conservatively other than their own emotions and their own inability to stand up to the left. And I don't get that. Like, I don't care what Democrats say about me. In fact, I hope that they're saying awful things. Because if those people who are transing our kids and those people who are, you know, taxing us into oblivion, passing MLOs left and right in our school districts, if those people think that we're awful, then we're doing the right thing.
Exactly. I mean, so there's board members that are holding pornographic books in the libraries, trying to stand on the left's narrative that it's free speech.
Right. Yeah. Well, exactly. Look at Vivian Smotherman. I don't even know if you and I have talked about Vivian on this show. I know I've brought up Vivian before. Vivian ran against Cleve Simpson I forgot the House district now, but out towards Mesa County. And Vivian is a transgender individual. And when I sent an email out from the state GOP and I said, Vivian is a groomer, look at his Twitter account. He's talking about sex with his kids. He's doing perverse things. Like, this is his whole identity. The left and the moderate right of our party slammed me, slammed the state GOP, and said, how dare you say these things? And now fast forward 6 months, and who has a 17-year-old child living in his house from the local high school and is transing that child with his wife is Vivian Smotherman. I mean, it's clear as day. But if you say it, you're now being attacked. And it's like, no, but that's what this is. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So,
and we need strong board members to protect our schools against this.
We
nonsense.
Do. We do.
I mean, look what's happening in, what is it, Jeffco or Dougco, where all of the teachers are bringing these children into their homes and transing them, and the school district is protecting them.
That's
you want that to happen in El Paso County?
That's what's going on across the state. And all these parents and these moderates are content to just say, well, don't be mean. Don't be mean. Yeah. And then who are they going to be calling when their kid is the one locked in some teacher's basement? They'll be calling you and me. You. Exactly. And Christy, we have Kurt Wildforster on. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I'm sure everyone has seen all of the chaos going on around the state with the Republican Party, and the Libertarian Party is one of the voices in the background that's now coming to the forefront. They were instrumental in the fact that CD8 is not a Democrat district anymore. That is now a Republican congressional seat. If not for the Libertarians, we would not have that seat, and that would be one less seat in the federal government right now. The Libertarians are a huge, huge part of us winning in Colorado. They are an extremely principled party, limited government. You and I were talking about that. Let's bring Kurt on while I'm blabbing away. But they are extremely principled. And so they will flat out say, we will run a candidate. If the Republican Party does not have a liberty-minded candidate, we will run a libertarian candidate. And I've always respected that so much because, like I said, look at the outcome of some of the races in our last election, Senate 12, which I'm sure Kurt can talk about a little bit more. Senate 12, where Stan Vanderwerf ran against Mark Snyder. If Stan, or there was a libertarian in that race, if Stan had behaved more liberty-minded, the outcome of that race probably would have been totally different. And now we've got CD8, Gabe Evans, behaving wildly out there. So, Kurt, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time to come on this call today. We appreciate everything you're doing. You are with the Libertarian Party of El Paso County. What's your title there? What are you doing in El Paso County right now?
Well, thanks for having me. I am the vice chair for the El Paso County Libertarian Party. I'm also the campaigns director for the Libertarian Party of Colorado. So at the state level, I see some of those candidates too. But yeah, we have that strategy that you just mentioned where we are trying to find good Republicans that are going to be principled and support a lot of liberty-minded legislations and not purposely run a candidate against them. We have made some really good partnerships. There's some really good liberty leaders throughout Colorado, especially down here in El Paso County. We have some of the best. Yeah. And yeah, we've just been doing that strategy as a part of Hannah Goodman, our state chair. She invented it, and she's partnered with a lot of GOP leaders on that. The Democrats too, but you know, no one on the Democrat side cared.
No. She is just awesome. And you guys, this strategy has really paid off, as I was just saying. You know, and a lot of Republicans obviously don't like it, but they don't like it because they're being held accountable, right?
Yeah. Anytime you push back or you slap hands, no one's going to like you. They want you to be the silent partner. But this is definitely an active partnership. You know, we make people sign pledges. We're pretty flexible, even on what's on that pledge, just that they have a commitment that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. And if they don't, yeah, we'll run a candidate.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you guys feeling? I know it's premature, but I mean, how are you feeling about CD8 right now and Gabe Evans's dignity bill?
Yeah, I've seen some numbers that maybe look like he is at threat. He is CD8. It was a tight race. You have a good mix there. As far as a political standpoint goes, I mean, politicians are going to politician. Yep. And I don't think it's a great thing for him to do personally, but Maybe he has some deal going in the background that I'm unaware of. I know that
Right.
he is in the earpiece of Trump. So it's not something that just came out of the blue. Otherwise, we'd be hearing it from the president himself.
So you don't think that that's coming? Like, as this bill progresses, you're kind of the mindset that, okay, maybe there's more going on behind the scenes. You don't see Trump kind of pouncing on him if another candidate emerged.
I think a lot of these bills, there's always something going on behind
Yeah.
the scenes, especially when you get to the federal level. You're going to have all sorts of wheels turning on both party levels because, I forget who's the co-sponsor again. It's a Democrat, isn't it?
There's Salazar out of Florida.
Yeah, so it's a one of those bipartisan deals. It'll probably put a bunch of money in a lot of
Yep.
politicians' pockets, and we'll see. It might be killed eventually. Well, it's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think it will be, but it's kind of like I think it's a slap in the face to the people that, elected Gabe out here in Colorado. He spoke in Aurora when President Trump came, and John Fitzpatrick spoke, who was former ICE director and was running in CD6 at the time. And we're fighting so hard to close the borders. To have an elected official that we just elected say, well, I'm going to allow 2.5 million more illegals to become legal. It's kind of a scary premise. That's what we're up against in this state.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because it doesn't seem like anyone who really voted for Trump and supported him was on the amnesty train. I mean,
Yeah.
we saw that happen under Bush. We saw it happen under Reagan. And people complain about it for every election. They go back and see who's done what to get how many more illegals in the state or in the country. And, during Biden, we were news article after news article, you were seeing them being flown into these random towns. It's really, really weird. So I don't know if
It
this bill would add more structure to it and, it'd be like the nice illegal immigration, or if it would just be more of the same and, we end up
Yeah.
with people getting citizenship and we vote in more socialist policies. It's hard to
Yeah.
say.
I mean,
I
some of the
know.
stipulations on that one are that they had to arrive before 2020, they have to pay 7,000 in restitution, stay out of trouble, and not receive federal benefits.
Yeah. I mean, there's a clause in there too about keep or a whole section about keeping ICE in check. That kind of worries me. I mean, I've never been like one of those back the blue at any cost. I tend to think a lot of the times that we could do less police and less jail, but do it in a more meaningful fashion. But ICE is I don't know who else is going to protect our borders. So that premise is a little bit sketchy. But like you said, I mean, we'll see how the bill progresses as it moves along.
Yeah, and it's just been proposed. It's going to go through the
Yeah.
House, the Senate. It's going to have all these changes made throughout it. It could get better. It could get worse. It could not even make it out of committee.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to talk about any bill that gets proposed like this until
Yeah.
it's at least in one of the House or the Senate being voted on, and then we kind of see how bad is it
Yeah.
really. This bill's particularly, I don't know. Again, I'm not
Yeah,
a
no, I know. And I'm not either. I mean, I'll be very blunt. Like, I've been in the GOP signal threads calling for a primary. Like, I'm over it. So you don't have to sugarcoat things in this realm of the state. But yeah, it's pretty bad right now. But we'll see what happens in the coming months. Now, you guys are both. I know Christy, you've been really active in Pueblo D60 and D70. I know Kurt. You're pretty well versed as to what's going on in Pueblo. So in Pueblo right now, and we talked about it briefly the other day, Stephanie Luck, who is House District 60, she is, in my mind, the most liberty-minded House representative that we have right now. She is always the top voter with the Liberty Scorecard. And I'll just say it, I'll say it again. She is somebody that, I mean, she lives in her principles. So this Michelle Gray emerged this week. Michelle Gray is the chair of Pueblo County, best friends with the GOP committee woman, and she's primarying Stephanie Luck. Brandi Bradley was out speaking about it, and then your state chair jumped in, Kurt, and was like, "You better not be coming. You better not be coming for Stephanie." And so I mean, the libertarians are pissed. I mean, give us your two cents on that.
So we're getting actually two different narratives with this, because yeah, we re originally were being told that she was going to be primaried. We have it on decent authority. I don't know if it's 100% yet that she's not being primaried and that she might be running for a Senate seat. So it might be that they're just trying to prep her replacement, which in that case, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's not the case. Maybe this
I'm
is a
pretty
story,
tied
but.
in. I spoke with Stephanie myself personally for a long time the other night. That's not what's happening. And there, and when you say they, so they would be the right now the GOP is controlled by the establishment wing, the non-liberty minded wing.
Yeah,
So
for
that's
sure.
why they're coming for Stephanie. So she no, she was very clear. She spoke with Michelle, and she said, "Are you actually running?" And Michelle said, "I'm going to pray about it." And then about a week later, Michelle came back and said, "I've prayed about it. I have to run. Like, rural Colorado needs me. We have to talk more about hospitals and this, that, and the." Well, what does that mean? If what are what does that mean in the context of Stephanie Luck being the best voter in this in the state legislature? How can you do any better? So that talk of like addressing rural needs to me is just double speak for raising taxes. And we all know, I mean, I love rural Colorado, but at times rural Colorado can behave pretty left wing and say, you know, we need this. We don't have broadband internet. We don't have A, B, C, and D. And it's the state government's job to fund our hospitals and do all the things and build us better roads. And that's kind of what I see transpiring in that House district by trying to push, basically push Stephanie to run for Baisley's seat.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, then that doesn't help because we will definitely run somebody if we get it on good authority or if it turns out, you know, she's being pushed out. Because we're big fans. And the one quote that I saw is kind of related to what you were talking about is that I think she said she wants more bills passed, but that doesn't happen in Colorado right now unless it's an awful bill because we have the Senate controlled by Democrats. We have the House controlled by Democrats. And then Polis, who it's rare that he vetoes something. And it's usually pretty insane if he's vetoing it or just like one of those random throwaways. So we're not going to get anything good passed. He's not, no one's going to reduce the size of government if we get her in that seat. She would have to work with Democrats. And yeah, that would, and maybe they would just use her to try to undo Tabor. I don't know.
All of those things. And you know, Christy and I, we've talked about this before because when we first started becoming involved with Moms for Liberty, I remember that a lot of the activists were like, "Why can't we run a bill for this?" Or why? And it's like, you can run a bill all day long, but you also could write a bill and just light it on fire and flush it down the toilet, and it would be more productive
It's
in this.
about as effective. You might get a little heat out of it because, yeah, Democrats don't let bills get out of committee to even come to a vote that are even that sane.
No,
You
and
can
we
get all
need.
of these crazy policies that allow for 13-year-olds to be kidnapped by school teachers, but God forbid you reduce the size and scope of government by just like that much.
And we need people like Stephanie and Brandy up at the Capitol pointing out to the Democrats on the floor in front of everybody how bad their bills actually are, because these are the videos that we're able to take and blast all across the nation so that it gets in front of President Trump and the federal government to see the crazy stuff that Colorado is doing. And if you have somebody that's working with the Democrats and not, you know, willing to get up and call them out, we have a problem.
I mean, and that's the whole issue that we're facing right now. Like Kurt just said, there's no good bill that is going to be signed on to by Republic or by Democrats. And then if the Republicans are asking, or if the Democrats are asking a Republican to put their name on a bill, you have to ask yourself why that is, because they don't need Republican co-sponsors. They don't need Republican votes right now. So what's really happening here is these Republicans are just being swindled. What's the bill that was passed this past year? The charter school bill that allows third party entities to come in and talk to the kids. I'm Googling this right now, but this
I
is a
still
really
have
good what?
it. I still have, we have our legislative tracker still, so I can still
Oh
have it.
yeah, because it was the one Lundeen was instrumental in this bill, and it was we okay, so they introduced a bill this past year, and so many Republicans jumped onto it, and it was a Senate bill, and it's that third party organizations can come into charter schools now and talk to the kids from outside organizations about basically whatever they want. And Lundeen's argument and the Republicans who signed on to it were like, well, we're just bringing charter schools up to the level of public schools. We're not going to allow the LGBTQ organizations, and we're not going to allow, the women's health centers to come talk about abortion and all the things that kids aren't ready to hear. But that's always what this is. It's always a red herring, just like the civics bill that
Yes.
they all signed on. Do you remember the civics bill several years ago? That was like, we're going to set standards for civics in Colorado schools. And all the Republicans back in 2021 and 2022 were like, oh, great. Our kids are going to learn social studies and like hang flags in their classroom. No, that's not how this goes down in Colorado.
No.
No, they'll hang flags in your classroom, just not the ones they're thinking of. And that's
Yeah.
the problem with a lot of these bills. They get passed, and Republicans think that, oh, maybe somebody has a good idea. There's usually some second order thing that's happening in the background that they're really trying to do, and it's never what the bill says. I mean, we've had this problem in Colorado for a long time, and the US in general. I mean, any bill that has a name that sounds good and fuzzy always has some hidden sentence or paragraph or annotation to a document that you're not even aware of that has some weird thing in it that's going to be bad. You're going to get all these activists in your schools. You're going to get all these teachers who are doing, you know what, with kids they should not be
Yep.
doing. JeffCo is very known for this
Oh
right
my
now.
God.
And it never works out. You
No.
get all the support that are just like little pairs off of support of one congressman or senate that's a Republican here and there, and it's really disheartening.
Yeah.
I didn't always used to be in the Libertarian Party. I was never in the Republican Party, but this is one of the things that really pushed me into it, was just watching all these squishy Republicans just not accomplish anything. You vote for
That's
them, you expect
awful.
great things, and then just, all right, cool. I'll maybe vote for you next year. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
This
maybe.
legislative session was a full-on assault of parental rights in schools, though. It was awful, everything that they did. I couldn't find the bill number.
Everything that they did. I mean, everything that they did was awful. Nothing good has come out of the legislature ever since we lost our majority status. I mean, it's just as simple as that. And you could say that about any other state. There's no good bills coming out of our state legislature. I mean, I remember, okay, so I was on city council in Monument back in 2022, and our police chief came to us and he's like, hey, we've got this awesome grant opportunity from the state, and we're going to get 1.5 million for our officers. Well, for a town of 10,000 people, like that's a pretty decent chunk. And I'm like, oh, cool. Well, can I see the grant? Yeah, we'll find it. We'll find it. Well, eventually they find this 19-page grant, and I start look. I mean, and it very first page. There are things that you have to do to get this money, right? One of those things that you have to do is you have to send reports to the state about how many people of each race that you're arresting and what you're doing to promote equity in your town by way of arrests, and what you're doing to help the homeless people who you encounter, and that you're not just sending them back into a homeless situation. And I'm like, this is going to cost you way more than $1.5 million. Everything that comes from the state is bad, and money's no different. And so these localities, El Paso County's no different. They take that money, and then they're bound to the strings that the state sends.
Yeah,
And they
and
do
we
unfunded mandates.
Yeah.
every single time. Yeah, we have a lot of budget issues right now throughout the state, cities, counties, the state itself. Colorado Springs has been a budget shortfall. Denver is just, they're lighting their entire city and budget on fire. The state, we're having a special session come up because we have a budget shortfall, and a lot of it's related to stuff like this. And a lot of these little, hey, we have these grants. all of a sudden show up when we have these shortfalls. And then we get these golden handcuffs of, hey, well, you can have this money, which is temporary typically. And the programs that you have to implement are usually pretty permanent because it's hard to get rid of a program once it's in place. There's payroll attached to it and you don't want to fire people. So you end up with these policies of, yeah, let's treat homelessness with kid gloves. And that hasn't worked out for any city that has done that. Colorado Springs and Denver are messes
Oh my
of
God.
filth. You can't even go outside. That's why everyone gets pushed to the suburbs and the cities just they die.
And
And
Colorado Springs, go ahead.
sorry, inside the schools, I mean, these grants are coming with these programs that require all of these mental health professionals be hired, and they're making a lot more than the teachers. And then once the grants run out, the schools have to pay the salaries for all of these mental health professionals that are now taking away from funding that could be going to programs and teachers to increase academics.
Yeah, and people forget it's not just salary. There's benefits attached to this. There's retirement. These are public employees. They're not just, private contractors that you can fire once they're, you don't have the budget for them anymore. And they might be in a union and you might have a union agreement. And all of a sudden, you can't fire that person and they're going to cost you another $10 million before you can even get rid of them.
Exactly. And that's what's going on in our schools, our cities, our counties. Not only is there terrible laws coming down, but there's money that all these people interpret as free money. And it's like, no, that, like you just said, it's golden handcuffs. It's a way to get you to comply with the terrible that's coming out of the state. So, and Christy and I have discussed this a lot. Kurt, what's your pulse on the school districts and their way of championing MLOs when their budgets are a mess and they're always like, it's for the kids, it's for the kids, the kids are hungry, the kids
Or the
are.
teachers, they need their raises. And they always do that. It's the first thing they attack when they want funding. Well, we can't give our teachers raises without this.
Right. And on the ballot this year, over 50%, we're now thinking it's closer to 70% of school districts in 2025 are trying to pass an MLO.
Yeah, and you will see the language without raising taxes.
I
Would
know.
you approve doing this? Which kind of goes back to the debt thing. I was listening to John Caldera on the Independence Institute earlier today. He had a guest on for talking about the debt in Denver. And it's just insane how much debt we allow institutions to take on to try to, I don't know, just keep the corpse going down the road. We don't want to talk about budget cuts and having realistic expectations of what's going in and out of schools as far as our money goes. And it always leads to worse outcomes. And then you have more of these grants that pop up again. And they try to rebuild schools to a stupid budget bill. Hannah was actually telling me about one. It might have been Holyoke or somewhere just on the Eastern Plains where this school was going to be rebuilt for hundreds of millions of dollars. How is that one area ever going to pay that money back? They won't.
They
The
won't.
building doesn't have a life cycle that will allow for that community to pay that off. And no one ever thinks, does this make sense? They
Right.
just, yeah, like you said, they want to pay the teachers a little bit more money, and that's how they justify it.
So exactly. And we've said for years, a couple of years now, Christy and I have kind of used this as a gauge, right? So you can't always tell who's running for school board because a lot of times these are people that have not been as politically present as people that are running for Congress or state rep or whatever. Sometimes they don't even have social media accounts, and they all want to hit the ground running and say, I stand for the kids, and I'm going to stand against this and stand against that. A good indicator of how liberty-minded and how conservative-minded your school board candidates are going to behave when October starts to roll around is if they're supporting an MLO. And if they're supporting an MLO and they're running for office and you ask them, show me why this money's necessary. Show me why you need another $100 million. And then show me your budget and prove to me that you didn't, there's no waste, fraud, and abuse. They cannot do it.
Well, and a big problem that we're going to see this election cycle is because the federal government is withholding $80 million from the state of
Oh,
Colorado
yeah.
for schools. They're going to start saying, well, we need an MLO. We need to fund it on the local level. And my demand of school boards that are doing this is go through your budget and look at all of the costs of the Democrat programs that have come into our schools. Look at how much social emotional learning you have in your schools. What are these programs costing you? And then I want to see your academics. Have your academics gone up since you've had these programs, or have they gone down? Because they're bringing in so much mental health into the schools, so many new mental health jobs. Academics are going down. Social emotional learning is pushing academics to the side. And I want to see these programs removed
Yeah.
before or scaled back to a point where these school board members understand what they've brought in, because most of them don't understand that these programs are filled with diversity, equity, inclusion, filled with critical race theory and all of the other concepts, gender ideologies that
Yeah.
President Trump is trying to push out. And he's basically saying, I'm withholding this money until we investigate what's in our schools. So instead of removing the things that they should be removing to get the federal funding back into their state, they're
Yeah.
going to ask the taxpayers to reach into their pockets to start funding it so that they can continue to use the same programs that they're already using.
Christy, that's the
And
sad part too, is that one, our academics have gone in the garbage. All of our test scores have just been going lower and lower. And Colorado was never a stupid state. We used to have some great test scores, and it has just tanked. And it's not because teachers aren't paid enough. We,
no.
when teacher pay goes up, nothing happens. The scores stay the same or they keep lowering.
Because they
We.
keep putting more and more responsibilities on these teachers that they're not trained to do, and it's taking away from class time.
Exactly. And we need to go back to some of the basics. Go back to math. Go back to language arts. Go back to, yeah, painting. I don't know. Just something that is actually relevant to a student's learning education. They don't need to be learning about race riots when they're in kindergarten or transgenderism ever. I mean,
No.
you got it on TV. You got it everywhere. They have the internet. You don't have to put this stuff in the school. It's already out there.
No.
You're
And
not
they're
going to be
integrating.
increasing their level of understanding by having a teacher talk about it. You're just going to be having teachers talk about the good, positive, fluffy aspects and ignore all the bad stuff that these people have some issues and acceptance doesn't make it better.
I
No,
mean,
and they need to learn to fail also. Everybody doesn't always get a
Yeah.
medal. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a sad fact. Like, people kind of come down on me when I say it, and I try to say it not as extreme, but look, when we were in high school, there were these kids that like they didn't fit in, right? And there were various things that helped them and didn't help them. Whether it was seeing the school guidance counselor, who back then was literally just a guidance counselor. She was fine. She was an office that kids could go to and talk about, this happened at my house last night. And she was a valuable resource to our high school. But now you see more of this push. They're using these kids, and it's sad because they're not addressing their needs. They're not addressing the fact that they're not assimilating, that their social lives are not that great. Their school life is not that great. They're using them as political talking pieces, and they're hurting these children, because how do these kids now become teenagers and become adults and settle into regular jobs and do all the things? It's going to be really hard to do that. And when they bring in these programs, these social emotional learning programs, or these mental health programs, they're seeing a need in the school. They're blanketing over it over all of the students, most of whom don't need it. So now you have kids that are questioning, am I depressed?
I
Do I
know.
have anxiety? I don't even know what that means. And then the kids that actually need the help and support, they're not getting a tailored, direct approach to the mental health from mental health professionals that they should be seeing outside of the school district. They're getting a blanket one size fits all. So they're kind of getting passed through the system and not actually getting the help that they need.
Yeah, one of the things that people really ignore is that social contagion is a thing, and kids have it like wildfire. They all want to be the same thing. Whatever's cool, hip, and trendy, they're gonna plumb onto. I have two daughters. All of a sudden they hang out with a friend and they come home and they're a totally different person. And that's because they've been around somebody that they want to emulate because they admire them. It doesn't matter if it's an adult or a kid, you're going to have those issues come up. And yeah, when you have someone give a lecture about depression, mental health, any sort of transgender or gay thing, they can and probably will question it, and they may try emulating it. It sounds really weird and probably like I'm a right-wing cook when I say that, but it's a thing that kids do. And so that's why parents in the past were careful about who they let their kids around, because if you let them around another household or group setting where they have different values than you, it doesn't even matter if it's what we're talking about. It could be that, they like pizza and you like pasta. You're gonna have some conflict.
And that's why these situations and this counseling needs to be done outside of a classroom setting. Now they're trying to do it inside the classroom among peers. I mean, they have these circles that they have the kids get into, and they have to talk about a good thing and a bad thing that's happened to them. And then a teacher who's not a counselor is trying to guide the children through the process and how they should be treating each other. That's not the teacher's
That's
job.
not their
They
role as
shouldn't be
teachers.
doing peer studies like that inside classrooms when they're supposed to be learning that.
Right. That's not the role of a teacher. And I mean, kids are, like Kurt just said, they are impressionable. I mean, to your point, there's times where my kids will come home and they're like, oh, for an example, I love pickle flavored Cheetos. And it's like, since when? Well, since yesterday when I was hanging out with so and so and so and so. And it's like, okay. So that's fine, but that just shows you, I mean, that's how impressionable they are. So there's this new have you guys seen the K-pop movie?
No.
You heard about it? Oh my God.
I ignore anything that has K-pop in it.
Okay, so the K-pop movie was just released onto Netflix. And my son, who's 10, he put it on the other night, and it was on for 5 minutes. And I paused it and I said, my kids know me by now, so it's fine. I said, we're gonna have a talk. And I said, hey guys, you know that what's going on in this movie, it's not normal, right? And they were all like, yes, mom, yes, mom. And their friend was over, and even their friend was like, yes, like she's heard it. And I'm like, okay, so you realize men don't dress like this, men don't act like this. This is bizarre behavior, and it's literally coming here from Asia. And I don't even think those kids watch it. So, like, that's what they're being faced with on the daily, right? And if it's in their schools too, then all angles are telling kids that they should question their sexuality and they should, want bigger government and all the things. And I mean, it's just truly, it's so sad. It's like, I feel like I put my hand here to stop one of the forces from coming at my children, and then there's another one over here. It's like we're just dodging bullets all day. The zoo, we were at the zoo recently. We're on a train, and they said the train conductor is, I forget the name, and it was a they enjoy like hiking, and they enjoy blah 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 blah. And my daughter was like, what? You could tell that the language didn't quite register, because how is one person a they? And I was like, okay, listen, this is just a term people use. It's absolute crazy town. We don't talk like this. I mean, how else do you explain it? There's no other way to explain this. So when they go to school and they're faced with it, and our Republican leaders are like, well, I don't really want to address this. Like, I'm sorry, you are hurting our children. And that's why I appreciate so much what the Libertarian Party does, because it's not just this, okay, we have to win, we have to get people elected. It's you better get people elected, because we're standing here in the background and we will obstruct what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and sorry, just talking about this is depressing sometimes. I was just mentally going on tangents of stuff I've
I
experienced out
saw
in
you.
public, where it's just like, we were at the Children's Museum in Denver and had kind of a similar experience. And yeah, it's confusing, and you want to be able to talk about stuff like this with your kids in your own time. And when people just force this on you, and this is really another one of the big issues of putting it in the classroom. When you take that away from parents, it really strips us of our rights as parents. These are our kids. They're not
Yeah.
your kids, no matter how much you want to talk about them being your kids, or if you're the teacher and you feel like you had them for a year and somehow they're yours. We put time, effort, money, blood, sweat, tears, all of it into our kids, and you're probably childless anyways. Let's be
Yeah.
honest.
Yeah. Got cats.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And that they have no respect for parental rights. I mean, it's like I said, I've said this before. My mom is part of that party. If she won't watch this show because she just hates this. But if she were watching it, I wouldn't care. I'd still say the same thing. I'm like, the actions that you're taking, the way that you vote, it reflects the fact that we've all grown up and you don't have to think about these things. But you need to think about your grandparent, your grandchildren. And I wish that people would think more about the kids that are in these schools. So I'm just really thankful for all that both of you do. Thank you for being on this show today and discussing these important topics. Kurt, we'd love to get you back on because, as time goes by, like I said, you guys are instrumental in this state.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. And I'll maybe have a little more notice for anyone who doesn't know I'm a stand-in today, for someone who could make it for a doctor's appointment. But
It's great. You
I had
did
a
a
great
great
time.
job.
I do enjoy talking about Colorado, what's happening here, and more importantly, our kids, because I do this for my kids. I know you do it for yours. That's why I appreciate Christy so much and what she does too. She's a great pit bull in the fight. She doesn't let anyone let up. It's great.
Exactly. Christy, thank you so much for all that you're doing. And thank you for just not only fighting for our kids, but being a great friend and really a great friend to all of us in the state of Colorado, and I don't take that lightly. So thank you
Thank you.
both. And like I said, let's get you back on here soon. Kurt, Christy, you'll be back on in the next couple of days, I hope. Again, thank you for all you're doing. Kurt, keep us posted with what the Libertarian Party's doing. I hope everyone has an awesome weekend. It's going to be a hot one. So see you guys on Wednesday at 3 o'clock. And thanks again, Kurt and Christy.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.